This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This mini-series is brought to you by Home, the postpartum hotel where mothers are mothered. Across three episodes, together with Home founder Larissa Leone and the Ready or Not community, we interrogate what it means to navigate motherhood and matrescence in modern Australia. While this series is brought to you by Home, the experiences and views about my time in their care are entirely my own. Before we get into it, I want to send my love to every mother out there. From the one who's struggling just a bit, in the very mundane way that so many mothers do, and just like I did, to the one who's struggling a lot. While this series sets out to open up the conversation of what the everyday mother goes through, if you think that you might be struggling more than that, there's help available in our show notes. We do cover themes of postnatal depression and anxiety, psychosis, and suicidal ideation within these episodes. Please, before you listen, take a moment to think if this feels right for you right now. For a very specific time of about 6 weeks, I just wasn't myself. My daughter was about 7 months old, my son just under 2.5, and I kept asking myself the same question. Am I okay? What is this? I knew it was the sleep. Put simply, I just wasn't getting enough of it. But more than that, my daughter's cries, or screams might be a more accurate description, for my breast milk multiple times each night, were starting to characterize the way I would feel, the way I would move through the world each and every day for that brief period. Anxious, depleted, angry, needed, withdrawn, cancelling plans even if connection was exactly what I needed, buried under the weight of motherhood. I'm nervous about how much to share about how I've been feeling. I don't want to come across as ungrateful, as privileged, as dramatic, as negative. I got everything I wanted. My babies are well. I am well. I'm a privileged middle-class white woman with a supportive partner, supportive parents, and supportive in-laws. I have a roof over my head, food on the table, no history of depression or poor mental or physical health. I'm surrounded by love and friendship and light, all of the things that make up a good, safe, warm, healthy life. And someone always has it worse. There's infertility, there's loss, there's complex needs. So why am I finding it so hard to cope with a lack of sleep? All that aside, it remained that I was struggling. Not in a big, obvious way that is easily defined by diagnosis. Instead, I've been struggling in a thousand tiny ways. In my experience, everything about motherhood has been paradoxical. And the truth behind all of this is, the silver lining perhaps, being a mum is the greatest joy of my life. My children and their smiles, their bellies, their soft curls, their knowing eyes. It's everything. They're everything. I had a beautiful postpartum. Or the help a girl could want as a mum. But even still, I felt maddened by motherhood lately. The lack of sleep that we know to expect when entering parenthood was getting to me. It was changing me. Now, I'm lucky that this only happened for a short period of time for me. Lucky that to this point, it never manifested into anything more serious. But it got me thinking. If I, with all the privilege and support in the world, might be finding myself teary-eyed and at a loss from feeling emotionally and physically depleted, there's a good chance I'm not alone. In fact, I would posit that most mothers and primary caregivers, perhaps even secondary caregivers, have felt this way at some point in their lives. As I've mentioned and will nervously bring up again, it's hard to complain about the hard parts without sounding like you're whinging. And I want to send love to the people for whom motherhood has been uncharacteristically challenging. This series is for anyone who has ever felt alone in their misery, who's ever felt scared to admit just how loud they screamed at their baby in the middle of that cold, dark, lonely night. To anyone who's typed and deleted something they couldn't quite bring themselves to confess in their mother's group, because once the words were laid out in front of them, they were actually a little bit jarred themselves by what their fragile fingers had typed. For the mother who's joked about wanting to hurt herself to end up in hospital just to get a break, even though she might not have been joking at all. For the mother who has dreaded nightfall, not again, please, not yet. The mum that has been filled with rage in the middle of the night only to be horrified by how she felt and behaved when she saw the sunrise and her baby's angelic face beaming back up at her the next morning. This is for the mum that has wondered what on earth was wrong with her when on paper, everything looked perfect. She got everything she wanted and still, she was finding it hard. She wanted an escape. This is to lift the curtain on the secret lives of mothers everywhere. Mothers who love their children, who love motherhood. The mothers that know that two things can be true. That motherhood can be both the most beautiful, joyful, fulfilling thing and still the hardest, most challenging job. This is for every mother in the world. This is to say you're not alone. My children could not be more safe with me, and I love them with every fibre of my being. But it's the middle of the night. My screaming baby is 6 months old, and for the first time ever, I understand why they tell you not to shake the baby. I'm 10 months postpartum as I record this, and I'm stunned by the rage and the sadness that resided within my fiery body that night. Nothing happened, she was safe, but I was filled with rage. Red. Hot rage. When former Ready or Not guest and author Minna Dubin wrote about mum rage for the New York Times, her words went viral. In opening the article, she writes, "The rage lives in my hands, rolls down my fingers, clenching to fists. I want to hurt someone. I am tears and fury and violence. I want to scream and rip open pillows, toss chairs and punch walls. I want to see my destruction. Feathers floating, overturned furniture, ragged holes in dry wall." Now, if I read those words prior to having babies, I would have thought that won't be me, no way, as if. But now, I feel the words so deeply I could have written them myself. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., sunrise. She just wouldn't sleep. I tried everything, feeding, rocking, burping, massaging, shushing, patting, nappy changing, leaving her to cry it out, less dairy, no garlic and onion, colic remedies. The list was long and I tried it all. Nothing would work. She wouldn't stop screaming. It physically hurt me, made my chest tight, made me furious, sad, scared, empathetic, resentful, lonely. It made me feel fleetingly hateful toward this little thing I adored so deeply. Like I was the only mum in the world awake with a crying baby. And this is the part that is really hard to admit. I was aggressive when I was shushing at her. I cursed at her to stop crying. I cried myself. I was furious that I couldn't figure out how to settle this little baby, and I was desperate for some sleep, going crazy from the lack of it, maddened by sleep deprivation and plagued by the fact that I couldn't figure out how to settle my second baby. This wasn't my first rodeo. In the morning, I didn't recognize myself. I couldn't believe I could have felt so angry at this little baby that just needed her mum. I texted a friend. I said that we had another bad night. I told her that I had muttered things under my breath that I wasn't proud of. She too had another bad night, she said, but she didn't mutter the words under her breath. They were out there loud and clear. She was ashamed at the way her tiredness and mum rage collided. With the right amount of oxygen, heat, and fuel, the rage can easily, quickly come up in flames. And in the firing line is often the people we love most. But she was brave because I was lying when I said that my shameful words were muttered under my breath. I was simply too ashamed, too proud to say the thing out loud that she was brave enough to say. I yelled, I cursed, I screamed at my baby. And if this beautiful, calm friend of mine behaved this way in the middle of the night, perhaps, I realized, we all might. I asked Larissa Leone, the founder of Home, about her experience with sleep deprivation and rage. After giving birth to her first child, she found herself lost in the very early stages of becoming a mum. She, like me, had wonderful support around her, but she felt alone and didn't want to let on that she wasn't coping. She found herself in some dark places and eventually decided to speak up because she knew she needed to seek help. She was later diagnosed with postnatal depression and anxiety, and all the time she kept asking herself, why isn't there somewhere I can go that I can be cared for and helped with my new baby? And that's how Home, the Melbourne postpartum hotel where mothers are mothered, came to be. The place that I was lucky enough to spend 5 days with my baby when my depletion and emotions were at their worst. Since then, she's made it her mission to create a space that cares for mothers. She wants to make sure that no one feels the way she did after birth.
I had many nights and days where I had all of this rage, like the rage within me was just phenomenal. It was absolute torture. And I have put my fist through a wall because I'm like, I need to get out of this bedroom. I need to get out of this bedroom now where this baby is screaming. And, you know, you layer all of these things with no sleep. My daughter didn't sleep past a 45-minute cycle day or night for 5.5 months until I said something. But I just knew that I had to get out of her room but I had to get rid of it because I needed to get it out. And I'm actually not ashamed of that now. I actually think of that version of me and certainly just want to hold her and tell her, you know, you did the right thing by walking out of that bedroom. And you also somewhat did the right thing by putting your fist through a wall. Because you needed to get rid of that rage. And at that time, that was the only way that you knew how to. So you know what? That's okay.
I'm 10 months postpartum now. And as I've already told you, for a brief period there, I had been asking myself the same question. Am I actually okay? For the most part, the answer was yes. I was filled with joy, filled with wonder, love, a gratitude like no other. Some parenting days were seamless. I was getting the hang of having two kids, and we were having fun. But when my 8-month-old was still waking 3 times a night, her scream was breaking me. Try as he may, my husband couldn't find a way to settle her. He'd rock her to sleep, eventually place her back down in the cot, only for her to start screaming again. It's not as though she was waking every hour. Some people experience much worse. I wondered how this could affect me so much. But I was just so tired. Tired to the point that I felt like I could cry at any moment. Tears sat just beneath the surface of my bleary eyes, and I didn't know how to name what this was. I don't think it was postpartum depression. Not quite. Or maybe that's me being proud or being scared to be dramatic or being scared about what that would mean if it was. But I imagine that if I let things go on like that, if I didn't seek help, if I pressed on the way mothers are told to, that maybe that's exactly what it would have eventually manifested into. How many mothers have felt this way, I wondered. How many mums have kept pressing on until they hit breaking point? I've seen mothers have mental breakdowns when their kids were teenagers and adults, and I now wonder, how long did they just keep going for beyond the point where they just weren't feeling good? How many mothers have just kept going, pressed on until they were broken?
If we just focus here on Australia, it is not valued at all. And I think the only value we place upon it is once a woman is in a psychosis, if she is in a mother-baby unit or she is on her knees, that's the only time that we place any value upon the postpartum afterbirth period.
On her knees. If you've ever felt at least slightly this way in motherhood or in life, this will feel as visceral to you as it does to me. Many mothers in my DMs can relate. It wasn't until they hit rock bottom that they were able to ask for help. One mother describes it as losing her absolute shit. Another, complete and utter exhaustion. Another told me a story about pumping in hospital after her son's second open heart surgery. The nurse told her that she needed to stop. "You're exhausted," she said. At that moment, she did. After 4 months of pumping and feeding her baby expressed breast milk, she finally stopped. When she stopped and could lean in to help, she said a huge weight was lifted. Many mentioned mental breakdowns or being on the verge of one, and others said that even when they were struggling, they're still not sure that they ever really learned how to ask for help. When my sleep deprivation was at its worst, it wasn't just rage and resentment and sadness, but a desire to escape, just for a little while. When I had my first baby, a night away from him felt more like a want than a need, a luxury rather than an essential. Now, as a mother of two, I was starting to feel desperate to get away. Let me out, let me go, just for a little while. I love my children so much, but Jesus fucking Christ, can I check into a hotel on my own for just 24 hours? I'll even take 12 if that's all that's on offer. In my inbox, many mothers can relate. One describes the feeling as suffocating. Another describes her despair and that she felt like the only way out was to run away. That word suffocating and the word helpless come up more times than I can count. And other mums liken this feeling to isolation, loneliness, extreme panic, irritability. That word desperate reappears. One mum said she felt desperate for a break. She said she wanted to walk into traffic to get away from her baby and her life. One mum felt completely overwhelmed at the idea of constantly being needed. She said the person that she was gone and it felt like any sense of control and stability had been pulled from under her feet. It was like she'd been swallowed whole and was drowning, but had no option but to keep treading water to keep her and her baby safe. Another person references that Sex and the City scene where Charlotte goes into the pantry and cries. I still think about that cream vintage Valentino skirt. Oh, sweetie, I'm so sorry. I'm relieved that I don't feel that way anymore. But during that period, my skin would crawl at nighttime, at the idea of feeding my baby to sleep and the night that might follow. It was somehow bath time yet again, and my husband, as always, offers the choice to me. Clean up after dinner or bath time with the kids. You choose, I'll do the other one. It's the nightly dance that we've become accustomed to, but instead of getting through it as I normally would or even enjoying it, I just feel dread. I choose the cleanup most nights for a break and some silence. It's about the only time all day that no one is touching me, and I revel in the domestic drudgery of it all. She comes back from her bath all sweet-smelling and rosy-cheeked. And although I'm elated to see her beautiful face beaming up at me, I feel that dread creep in once more as my husband hands her over for a breastfeed. She unintentionally scratches my skin and pulls at my hair. And for reasons that perplex me, I can only just hold it together. These seemingly little things trigger me in a way that is hard to articulate, almost hard to believe now with hindsight, but I can still feel what I felt then. Deep breaths suppress tears, and I sit there with dread. It's a common feeling amongst mothers, that nighttime dread. In my inbox, one mother describes feeling dread in her chest and her stomach. I can feel that now as I repeat those words. She would stay up late just to avoid the night starting, as though she could avoid it altogether. It was fueled by a lot of fear. Her husband was on night shift and she didn't trust herself to be alone when she felt like the toys in the room were talking to her. Another mum said that as soon as 5 p.m. would roll around, she would start clenching her teeth and watch the clock for the moment her husband would walk through the door. Her chest was tight, her eyebrows ached from all the worry, for hours on end. Another mum described the nighttime dread as a heavy blanket of fear that would envelop her. She felt in her body as though something dreadful was about to happen, and it unsettled her. So if it's not obvious yet, it's fair to say that during that time, I was nervous about the night ahead, about how many times she was going to need to feed, how many screams I'm going to hear while my husband tries his best to settle her. Pathetic, really, I think to myself. There are people with less support, people whose children have complex needs. There are people with more wakeful babies. Surely I can hold it together. Press on, push through the stressors and the triggers in my mundane version of motherhood. Another night, just keep swimming, just get through it. I heard somewhere that if the water quality in a fish tank is poor, the fish might jump out to seek a more appropriate environment. There are other potential factors, like a lack of hiding places, low oxygen levels, and improper pH balance. My daughter is 8.5 months old when we jump out of our own fish tank and into the arms of the staff at home. That's HOMB. It's the first of its kind postpartum hotel where mothers are mothered, and it exists on a quiet tree-lined street in Elsternwick in Melbourne. I'm nervous as I walk through the gate, up the garden path to the blue door. I'm not sure exactly what to expect. I know we'll be cared for. I know I won't have to cook or clean or think of laundry. I know they'll happily take my daughter into the nursery overnight. They'll help me avoid her screams and only bring her to me when she needs a feed. I know I'll have a massage and that there's naturopaths and other health professionals I can lean on while I'm in their care. I know they'll help with the baby as much or as little as I need. Beyond that, I'm not entirely sure how it all plays out. But as I step across that threshold, that transformative space that I quickly realized would change me, any shyness or nerves melt away. I'm greeted by a group of people that feel more like cousins and aunties than staff, and I'm shown to my room, my sanctuary, my safe space. Plush carpet, a big enveloping bed, soft curtains, soft colours, soft curves. A cozy robe, slippers, magnesium salts for the bath that I'm already planning to take. Full height hanging space and drawers for my things. I notice that last point immediately. Unlike your average hotel, I can tell they want me to settle in here, to feel at home. A now lingering thought implants in my mind and hasn't left since. How do we bring this level of care and sense of sanctuary to each and every mother in the world? Further down the hall, snacks and a range of teas line the wall that leads to the place where the magic happens, the kitchen and dining room. During my 5-day stay, this place will slowly but surely manifest into something of a dream in my mind. As I reflect on that room now, it's bathed in a golden glow. I picture the staff as some sort of fairy godmothers, quietly and calmly working away, gliding as though their feet don't really touch the ground, lovingly cooking meals to nourish our tired bodies and minds, to a soundtrack of Sade and Leon Bridges and Jeff Buckley and Birdsong, while engaging in conversation with the mothers and babies that for now call this place home. A bowl of lemons is brought to life by the sunbeams that pierce through the windows that lead to the garden, and on the dining table, a beautiful bunch of red roses reminds me of my grandmother. It's as though my Nana has put them there herself, just for me, as though she's kissed this space before I arrive. She's left a love note for me in the middle of that room, from up there in the heavens. It was as though she was saying, "It's okay, I found it hard at times too, but you're held, you're safe. You're loved." And now I know that mothers need things more than they need flowers, but I'm pretty convinced that if every blurry-eyed mother walked out to a big bunch of bursting bright red flowers after a terrible night's sleep, their world would feel that little warmer for it. As I'm settling in, there's a phrase that comes up often. Each person I encounter tells me that they want me to take time to land in the space. And so on that first afternoon, my tired body lands in the bathtub. I'm submerged deep in the water and I feel held. Held by water, held by warmth, held by the wisdom that fills this sacred space for mothers. For the first time in a long time, there's nowhere else that I need to be. And so I breathe. I sink deeper into the water as though I myself am a baby floating in the warmth of my own mother's womb. I'm landing into the space, into myself. I am home. This is a Ready or Not production brought to you by Home, the postpartum hotel where mothers are mothered. I'd like to thank Nicole Ryanstein for helping me create this series, and also Michelle Andrews and her recent production Glass for inspiring me.